Welcome to Writer's Circle Radio, presented by Classical Conversations. Today's episode comes from Linda Tompkinson, in the reading voice of Linda Tompkinson. Linda homeschooled her three children from kindergarten through high school and experienced the joys and adventures right through graduation and college. Linda believes in lifelong education and supports pursuing dreams, whether in the academic, vocational, mission, or service sectors. She delights in seeing well-equipped students positively impact society with a Christ-centered worldview that is dynamic, alive, and full of grace, truth, and beauty. She has been a part of Classical Conversations since 1998 as a director for Challenge B, 2, 3, and 4, as a former academic advisor for Challenges 2, 3, and 4, as a developer and promoter of Classical Conversations Plus College Credit Program, and as a senior advisor of Homeschool Counselor.
Hello, I'm Lynn Tompkinson, and this is a Homeschool Parent's Musings. What is Christian Paideia, and why does it matter? Education, as Paideia, is not preparation for life, for college, or for work. It is our inherited means of living fully in the present while we grow in wisdom and in grace, in conscience and in style, entering gradually into the good life. It's a quote by David Hicks, author of Norms and Nobility, page 130. My summer practicum just ended. On the last day, testimonies hailed how Classical Conversations changed families' lives. The classical curricula fashioned finer homeschooling, and the Christian emphasis complemented the home environment. Many emphasized how the community came alongside in various struggles and made them easier to bear. These tales surpassed mere descriptions about classical education with biblical ideas. They encompassed more than homeschooling techniques or the blessings of supportive friends. They tapped into our longings for something more. Through the stories, this longing kept surfacing with glimpses, hopes, and desires for something more. But longing for more of what? I think these tales revealed yearnings for Christian Paideia. Christian Paideia is that nebulous idea that is talked about in classical circles and that is earnestly sought as a means towards a good life, and that is elusive, if impossible, in contemporary culture, according to some classical education authors. But does it have to be an ideal in the ether? Or can we truly act to live the good life now? I've been musing about Christian Paideia for some time, and I think the exceptionality of the examined homeschool life can foster this idea and move toward the good life. So what is Paideia? The ancient Greeks viewed education as much more than learning how to read, figure, understand history, and gain skills. Their education was prescriptive and purposeful. It encompassed the whole individual, and it passed along social, cultural, and political ideas. The Greeks called this broad idea of education paideia. Merriam-Webster's dictionary defines paideia as the training of the physical and mental faculties in such a way as to produce a broad, enlightened, mature outlook, harmoniously combined with maximum cultural development. David Hicks described the ancient Greek citizens' review of paideia as a natural right, as a mindset, and as a normative outcome of classical education. Students were trained to embrace lives full of virtue and purpose, and also to pass on what they had learned to others. Paideia perpetuated Greek culture and ideas. Paideia informed individuals how to live an active life of reason that would be virtuous and magnanimous in order to create what Aristotle called happiness, or eudaimonia. He believed that character was formed by the balance between making good choices and possessing good fortune. Aristotle's happiness depended upon self-sufficiency, autonomy, and the ability to be in a superior position as a patron, so as to be able to bestow gifts and favors upon others, rather than being in an inferior position of receiving them. Being in debt as a client, whether in favors or gifts, was not good fortune, and it could enslave the receiver to the giver. Aristotle gave good advice on how to achieve this happiness. It seems the Greeks would rather calculate to maintain the best appearance by making better choices than fall from being a beneficent patron to an indebted client. Good fortune was secured by the benefits of status, noble family, health, wealth, and good alliances. A life of happiness, or eudaimonia, led toward the good life, and it was desired by the informed Greek. Overall, Greek citizens strove to live virtuous lives and to avoid corruptions, but the road was very narrow and many pitfalls needed to be avoided. What is Christian paideia? The Apostle Paul was very familiar with Greek thought and paideia, as evidenced by his Mars Hill speech recorded in Acts 17, verses 22 through 31. He was classically trained and educated in the Jewish tradition as a Pharisee. After his Damascus Road experience, Paul studied the scriptures and by the power of the Holy Spirit became an apostle to the Gentiles. All of his experiences formed him and prepared him to live the life of happiness, eudaimonia, but with a chief difference. Good fortune was superseded by the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, which enabled Paul to make better choices and live more virtuously. Paul could both know what was good and act upon his knowledge. Paul realized and taught that grace, God's unmerited favor because of Jesus Christ's sinless life and substitutionary sacrifice, secured God's benefits that were not dependent on status, noble family, health, wealth, and good alliances. Instead, the believer hilariously embraced this miraculous fortune and responded with gratitude directed towards God. The Apostle Paul's teachings urged the Gentiles to embrace the new way of happiness. And this was not based on the Greek idea, paideia, that ceased beyond autonomous man, but instead it welcomed the work of the Holy Spirit within the believer. No matter what the circumstances, the believer could agree with Paul, as he wrote in Philippians chapter 1, verse 21, to live as Christ and to die as gain. The juggling to be a patron, to be in a superior position over others, no longer held power. Now that you've been set free from sin and have become slaves of God, the fruit you get leads to sanctification and its end, eternal life, as he wrote in Romans chapter 6. Verse 22, for the church's gift and nexus works only if there is in fact a single divine benefactor and patron to whom all the members are clients who owe grateful service. If all the fellow slaves in Greek, doulai, are of the one Lord Jesus, as written by Peter Lightheart. Besides, Paul's expositive teachings in many of his letters to the churches, he also included character formation on how to live as new creations. In his letters, he exhorted the Ephesians, "Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord." In Ephesians 6, verse 4. The original Greek noun paideia is translated here as instruction, and in this verse it strongly suggests Christian character training. Paul sought to establish the idea of Christian paideia that far exceeded academics. He was modeling and informing others how to live, act, and love within the community of believers. He desired a totality of immersion and enculturation, which would truly affect all aspects of Christian life and a child's upbringing. That is Christian paideia. So how do I visualize and appropriate Christian paideia? Douglas Wilson says enculturation is necessary for true Christian paideia. So therefore, a good place to start is with expanded classical academics. The homeschooling mother, the founding mother of Classical Conversations, Lee Bortons, expanded her idea of classical Christian education based on three planks of a mission, a model, and a method. The mission, the doxology sphere. The mission, to know God and to make him known, takes preeminence and it guides the others. A good visual representation of classical conversations is the sphere of doxology. The outer layers of the sphere represent the trivium associated with biblical ideas of knowledge, understanding, and wisdom. The next inner layer represents the specific areas of study that integrate with each other and gain their purpose and glory as they radiate to and from the center of all things, God. The sphere of doxology not only shows the form of all study as praise to God, but it also conveys the liturgical reality that all things emanate from him. The model. The model of classical conversations looks through the Christian lens to practice the classical learning skills of the seven liberal arts. The trivium and elements of the quadrivium, while studying subjects for meaningful academics, the trivium, or three ways, includes grammar, which is the beholding or soaking in knowledge, dialectic, which is the pondering or growing in understanding, and rhetoric, which is the acting or bearing fruit in season, which is wisdom. The quadrivium includes the mathematical liberal arts study of arithmetic, geometry, harmonics, and astronomy. The method. The method adds supportive community for homeschool families to interact with each other. Indeed, the method provides opportunities for action, opportunities to learn, to equip, and to teach others. The method includes a centralized meeting once a week for homeschool families during the school year, practicums for parent training in the summer, and other trainings throughout the year for parents and community directors, all for the goal to expand classical Christian academics. The community sphere. Beyond the sphere of comprehensive classical Christian academics, Christian paideia necessitates community. This could be represented by another visual sphere filled with concentric circles. The Christian homeschool is seated in the center. Here, in the home, the family cultivates love and learning with wonder and a taste for beauty. The heart of the home reflects character imitation and the pursuit of goodness. Children's souls are nurtured and they become full through the sacrificial, faithful home life. As children grow and mature, they move outward through the layers of circles whether as supported and encouraged in community life by sharing experiences and serving one another, whether in their extended family, Classical Conversations community, church body, or in the family of man, strong Christian community influences and provides confluence of faith, friends, and ideas. The free time sphere. Christian Paideia naturally contemplates time and its use in space. This could be represented by another visual sphere featuring free time or leisure in the center, surrounded by other moving spheres of time investment, such as church, community, fine arts, sports, friends, and work. Time, judiciously allocated, is life-giving and balanced to meet particular avocations and acts of service. In the ancient classical thought, leisure is active time for individual development and growth that's focused, intentional, and well-ordered. It is not idle. There's also enough particular space to reflect and receive divine appointments. Leisure should not be confused with playtime or downtime that one spends. In addition, time that is overscheduled or that does not allow margin is not restful. It creates stress and enslavement to the clock. The student and family need freedom to rejoice and respond to everyday opportunities that are received from the hand of God as one inquires, seeks, and listens. So why does it matter? Classical educators desire a climate of Christian paideia, but wonder if it's truly possible in contemporary culture when considering other avenues of influence in secular, political, and global realms. The visual idea of these three spheres incorporate aspects of classical Christian academics, community, and the use of free time as a means to inhabit that climate. When combined, these spheres represent activity that is balanced, harmonious, and restful, allowing for growth in mind, body, and spirit. Christians' homeschool families embody a microcosmic habitat that devotes a self-sacrificial lifestyle for the hope of a greater goal, which is living the good life for the glory of God. Although this devotion may seem idealistic, lofty, and in the presence of everyday feelings often impossible, there is consistent hope that binds and renders it possible to avoid pitfalls and walk the narrow road of the good news. A realized Christian life acknowledges humility and thankfulness, gratitude towards the great benefactor, unites, levels, and lifts our servant hearts. Gratitude stations us, the blessed clients, on the broader plane to see what is possible.
Thank you for listening to Classical Conversations Podcast. Are you curious about classical homeschooling? Visit classicalconversations.com and find a homeschool community near you.